Okay, it's after 8 o'clock. This is the Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting of the Illinois Tollway Board. Will the meeting please come to order? And Denise, can you call the roll?
Committee Chair Badano.
Here.
Director Moore.
Here.
Director Tana.
Here.
Director Moore.
First item on the agenda, can I get a motion to, did everybody get a chance to review the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Minutes are approved. Next item we go to is, oh, was I supposed to go to, did we have public comment? Are we doing public comment before we do?
We usually just leave, you know, some room on the agenda, but you can go back to it again at the end if you'd like.
Okay. I assume nobody signed up at this point.
No.
That's what happens when you have 8 o'clock meetings.
In a room next to the bathroom.
In a room next to the bathroom. It's open and transparent. Okay, next item I have is finance. Mike, you're going to walk us through the resolution for claim reserve fund for the workers' comp.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, directors.
Morning.
Finance has one item for the committee this morning. This is a resolution approving funding for the Workers' Compensation Insurance Claim Reserve Fund for 2011-2012 claim year or insurance year in the amount of $7,171,000 to April 30th in the amount of $4,144,000. The tollway has a self-funded workers' compensation insurance program. It's been in place since 1988. Under the terms of that agreement for that program and under the terms of the trust indenture, the tollway is required to maintain an actuarially sound claim reserve fund. Under the terms of the indenture, the soundness of that fund is to be evaluated every year by an actuary. Pinnacle Actuarial Resources, Inc. is the group that has completed a review of the claim cost trends for the tollways program. They've provided a study that we have provided in the materials that recommends funding for all open claims for the years prior to April 30th of 2011. That reserves can be reduced by $4,144,000 that we had set aside amounts that now appear like they'll exceed what those claims will end up being. They've also made a recommendation that we put into the fund over the next, well, between May 1st and April 30th of 2012, an amount of $7,171,000. So approximately $3 million additional would need to go into the reserve.
What's in there right now?
There's about $13 million in the reserve right now. Although we have actually expensed additional amounts that we haven't transferred to that reserve. And we've actually expensed an amount equal during the first half of the year kind of the amount that we would need to put in.
And how long is that? You said for all years prior. How does that go back?
88.
88?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to show up some of the attachments?
Yeah, Mike.
That show the
sure.
Because I had a question on the chart.
Yeah.
Should we wait till you get up to that?
No, go ahead.
It says 2011, we have 87 outstanding claims, 2009, 53. Does that mean we had more claims this year, or they just have not been resolved yet?
No, those are claims that are open that haven't been
so that's not our total number of claims?
No. Actually, okay. The number of claims, and I think that is in here, the number of claims has stayed fairly stable throughout the program. In fact, I think it's on one of the subsequent
yeah,
sheets.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it there.
There's a type one that says next.
I saw it the other day, and I can't find it.
Well, there's the claim frequency.
One more.
Exhibit 2, maybe?
There you go.
Yeah.
Claim counts. Estimated, you see in the middle column? Estimated ultimate claim counts. Number 7 column?
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
can
okay.
see in recent okay. years, it's been around 200 claims.
Okay.
In about 2003, 2004, we saw a fairly substantial increase in the cost of claims, which related to both rising medical costs as well as changes in workers' compensation laws that impacted the settlement amounts. In recent years, we had been putting more and more in each year as a result of the actuary's review, but now they have seen that what we were putting in reflected a growth trend that was even greater than what was being experienced. Also, you know, we've really worked well with a legal staff, with our outside claims administrator, to try to close these claims quicker and settle them out so that we can reduce the cost of the program.
Because I think last year we have kind of goosed up the safety program and training program, and that, so that's probably shown some results in over the last couple of years.
Are we impacted at all? Didn't we pass a new law in Illinois regarding workman's comp that was negotiated?
Some of the reforms.
There was a new law that just passed this spring, I believe.
It'll be another year.
It's effective September 1st of this year.
Okay.
But the changes in the program have no impact on pre-existing claims.
Right.
Okay, so going forward, we might be
in expenses.
But going forward, we might not have.
There might be an impact in future years.
But we do, like, I can't remember, I think last year somebody did a presentation. We do training, we try to make sure people, if they do get injured, report it quickly and don't let it linger and stuff. And that looks like that's paying off if you look at these various charts. So, yeah, Mike, is that something that you oversee, or how does that?
In Department Administration, yeah, they do those kind of presentations.
That's kind of good news, so that this is kind of the residual benefit of staying on top of that. Because there's going to be some injuries we can't help. I mean, that's
right.
And they're out there in the middle of a snowstorm or, you know, lifting stuff and that. But good training, obviously, is helping a little bit. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Good. That's best year since 2002,
yeah.
It looks like.
And this is all required pursuant to our bond indenture, the actuarial report and the recommendations, and the fact that we are going to be able to take some money out is probably good news.
That's correct. And what we will do, obviously, but what we would do then is to reduce the amount that we put in for the coming year as opposed to draw out of the reserve.
Okay.
And put more in.
Okay.
All right.
Any more questions?
The link.
The link doesn't seem to be working for the agenda. So you can close the document, and there's an icon on your desktop that says content, and it'll take you there.
Close it with content.
And then there's an icon on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's not opening.
Mine's working.
Oh, it is?
Mine worked, yeah.
Mine's not working.
It's inside of the tables. It's clearly the power side over here.
Right.
You guys are the techies.
Yeah, Tom and I are so far advanced now.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, mine is, I can't even.
Oh, okay.
So can I get a
motion? I'll make a motion.
Motion to
approve
item number 5 from finance.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved in second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Item 5.
Okay, great.
I mean, item 1 in finance agenda is approved.
Thank you. I guess I might add too, as well, on this that the budgetary impact of this will be, you know, the savings relative to our budget of about $4.7 million for this year. And I think we sent some materials indicating that would be provide an opportunity for us to cover some of the overages we saw at the end of the 6 months, the fuel costs. Some winter overtime costs that we had, and some collection
mm-hmm.
agency.
There was four items.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I guess the question I have on that is that this was the kind of the first year we kind of flattened out the budget from prior years. This will still keep us. We won't. We'll still stay within our overall budgetary number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. And do we have to approve that transfer? Is that
the transfer is done within the limit of the overall budget, and so that.
But we of course want to make you aware of the
transfer. No, that's good. We're not adding to the budget. We're simply shifting funds.
Within categories, right?
Okay.
Okay. Next, business systems, I think you have one item that we're deferring at this point.
We are going to defer it. We are still working through it.
Can we go back to the item? It's just under finance, investment banking, financial advisory service, just an update.
Just informational.
It's just an informational, just to give you all a heads up on something.
It's not in my agenda.
It's informational from finance. It's not an agenda item. He wants to give us an
update. We are proceeding now starting the process of procuring investment banking services, financial advisory services, now that we have an idea of what the need will be over the next several years with respect to the Move Illinois program, as well as the refunding bonds that we may still be able to do depending upon market conditions. That process, we've been working with John and CMS and others, that process will take months. So one of the things that we've been looking at is doing a renewal of the existing contracts or pools with a termination for convenience that can be terminated as soon as the new procurement is ready, completed, ready to award.
Define months.
You know, something complicated like this, I'd maybe 5-6 months.
Okay. If I might make a request that I think can protect all of us, like I got a call from a friend of mine who's an investment banker the other day and wanted to talk to me, and I told him to give you a call, Christy a call on it as well. But if we could just get a note, and I think we probably do in our packet, but once the bidding process or the RFQ process starts, because it is at that moment, technically, we should not be meeting with potential vendors.
Well, and this is why we're bringing it up.
So, but would that be now, or would that be once? I mean, when does that door close?
We're entering the PBC's, which is the start of the procurement process, is kind of a need that is entered to articulate.
But I think it's important we know when that door would close so we don't accidentally.
Correct. You could, though, once it's public, the RFP, you could tell firms. The RFP is published. That's go out there and download a copy.
No, then we tell people we can't talk to them. I understand that.
Oh, okay, right.
There is...
Once the need has been created internally, that's when you want to stay away from those discussions.
Right, but he is asking how does the board know, and I guess I'm saying that this is the point and are raising it right now.
Okay.
We're at that point now where you shouldn't be continuing to have those conversations.
Okay.
We would expect to enter the PBC... relatively
imminently,
soon.
Within
right.
a couple of okay. weeks, hopefully within next week.
2 weeks, they were saying, you guys from Rice. So that's
just for the record, I don't talk about any of the tollway stuff. I tell them, I refer them to Mike.
Oh, okay.
So to me, I don't, I say, you know what, any business you have regarding the tollway, you talk to Mike. I tell him, I'll tell you what I'm doing at the county and how you can help me in terms of economic development, says, or whatever. But as far as the tollway, I say you need to talk to staff.
So, but it's a good point that we're obviously raising it to these three members of this committee, but we should send a note out to the entire board so that they know as well that they should stop having those conversations.
The nature of my conversations are such that I don't even know.
You can
I don't
talk
even
about
know when
the,
this
tollway.
RFP ends and when
no,
it starts.
No, I understand
and,
that.
And the vendors are supposed to know that, not me. And I said, well, you go find out.
Right.
I just think on a practical level, because if somebody calls up and says, I'm an engineering firm and I'd like to interact. Well, you know, you got whatever, you know, talk to Paul. But they say, well, you know, we just like to tell you what we do. Say, fine, I'll be happy to talk to you and listen to you. But I don't want to get into a situation where technically we've stepped over the line.
We should probably take and just make sure that we're consistent across the board with all kind of major procurements. I mean, the reality is the board members don't really get involved, you know, take staff recommendations, certainly don't get involved in evaluation committees, et cetera. But, you know, we want to make sure we're giving you that right point where you're not.
Where you already don't have something out. And you're
right.
Right. And you're unaware.
Particularly sensitive.
Right. So let's figure that out. Even for the board meeting next week, it should be an easy enough thing for us to kind of get a process.
Yeah, just that we've started the process and discussion.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the current pool, you're going to extend pending approval of another pool of underwriters and FAs?
Technically, the discussions with CMS, it would require a renewal as opposed to an extension, but a renewal that could be terminated upon convenience. So.
Terminated by convenience, I heard that.
But it's just a renewal of using
existing pool.
Yeah. No, I like
it. Yeah. Well, I think Dendrags was a 3-year, technically it was a 3-year, so we're probably okay for another 7 or 8 months anyway.
That's
the FAs, we've gone way beyond the time, so we probably have to do something there.
Right.
The underwriter, the initial term of the underwriters expires in November.
Right.
And we did have a renewal option. And so that's what we would be bringing back at some point.
Okay. Right. We're not anticipating using these services for any of our new bond.
No,
it's just to kind of tide us over so that just in case we sort of have the services available.
There's a market opportunity on the refunding or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've already selected a team to do some kind of a refunding, so that would be that if they file in the money, then we could go ahead and let them do that deal.
And then there, next month as well, there's a property insurance item that is a similar situation where we are in the procurement process but don't believe we can complete the procurement process in time to meet the policy deadline of November 30th, I think.
Right.
So we also may be requesting at next month's board meeting a similar type of renewal, which we have an option to do under the last procurement, which we would terminate with the award of the new
termination of the convenience.
Right.
I guess that's not the right term.
No, I like that. Well, if the other side agrees to it.
No, if it's convenient for the tollway, we can do it.
Right. Yeah. No, I like that.
I think we did that with a couple of things. I think, Shauna, didn't we do that with... technically, that's the plan with the overhead tolling, is that...
The transponders.
The transponders are one of those. We did the same thing, yeah. So that if and when that the national committee finishes, then we can
To hold
switch.
Us over through,
We did that 2 meetings ago.
Sometimes the process takes a little longer.
With a certain amount of notice, I presume. 30 days notice.
30 days.
Mm-hmm. 30 days.
With the underwriters and the FAs having been in that world, I just have a question. Are you our new attorney?
I am.
Okay.
Hello, new attorney.
Hello.
I'm sorry, we haven't introduced
we should introduce
I can
new,
I can tell by her
Democrat.
Advice.
She looked like a
attorney.
<new attorney.
laughs>
This is Liz Luby, who is our acting general counsel. I know we introduced over email, but not in person. I'm sorry about that.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Once I ask a question, you'll leave. Under the new state rules as it relates to, I guess, all procurement, some underwriting firms have interpreted that as to say they cannot present financing ideas to an issuer, in this case the tollway, and if they do, they're prohibited from participating in that financing. Which seems bizarre, but that's how they seem to be interpreting it. As we work on this RFQ, is it possible that we can include in the RFQ that the 6 or 8 or 10 firms, whichever we select as our potential senior managers, a requirement of their being selected for that 2 or 3 year period is that they're required to present to the finance staff and maybe even the committee, it could be at least the staff, at least semi-annually or annually, new ideas in the marketplace, concepts of financing, so that they aren't prohibited, but in fact doing part of their duty.
I think we can look at how to word that in.
Because I think that's really critical, because to be perfectly honest with you, we are such a good credit. There is no reason to negotiate our bonds if we can't pick their brains. And if we can't pick their brains, then we shouldn't even bother with this process. But one of the reasons we like to negotiate is we get the best brains in the world, bring them to the table as our advisors, both as financial advisors and underwriters, so that we can get the best ideas and the best structures of bond issues. But they're all interpreting this new law that they can't talk to us other than to say, we priced your bonds on Tuesday, here they are. So if you can work with Mike and the procurement people, the reason we pick that team is we want to pick their brains. We don't want them to not show us an idea because they feared that they would not be able to execute. I think that's really
critical.
That's
a good idea. I think that's a good idea.
Things move fast.
And it just required that they once a year or twice a year, all 8 or 10, whatever number it is, have to come and make a presentation to the finance staff on the new ideas in the marketplace so they don't accidentally shoot themselves in the foot. Because as we go forward with the capital plan, it, at least it's my view, that you know we have 2-to-1 coverage as our goal. Well, maybe we ought to examine what happens if we go to 1.5 coverage. What if we go to, like the city of Chicago issues, what are called subordinate lien bonds. There's Series A, and then there's subordinate bonds B and C and stuff. Maybe we need to look at that. We might take the money that comes in from the Oasis. Could we use that to sell a security to pay for the parking lot renovations or something? But if we can't talk to these people to have them give us good ideas, for fear that they will lose the potential of executing the idea, it's kind of counterproductive. So I think we have to do that in this RFQ process so it's very clear one of their obligations, whether they get assignment or not for the next 3 years, will be to review our debt, review our ideas, present us ideas. So I'm sure you all can figure that out, but I think that's critical as we start this process because we want their brains.
Okay.
Upon
I
convenience.
Think that's a good idea.
Upon convenience.
Upon convenience, they will.
You can't have them. No, free of charge. They get to yeah. give us
well, even if we
idea.
Have to maybe retain them at $1 a year, I mean, no. whatever we right. have to do legally.
If you're selecting them, then they should.
If you're selected to be in the pool, you're likely to be used either as a senior or co-manager. That's the idea. So
and then we they're required to give us.
Is to report out.
We'll,
right.
we'll do what we can to accomplish because I think it is a good
yeah.
a good point to provide that cover.
Right, and even if it means we have to retain them for $1 a year.
Under contract, but
yeah.
still.
Yeah.
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 Well, I would argue if we have to give them $1 annual retainer right. and they're all then under contract and therefore we can begin to do that.
Yeah.
Because that was way back when I was in that business. That was, I remember Walter Knorr's thing in the city of Chicago was that he said, you know, a lot of people could sell our bonds. If you want to be part of our pool, you have to be here every 3 or 4 months and give us ideas of what's really cooking, what we can do. And he used that technique very effectively for the city. Under this new rule, the underwriters are afraid that they now can't
do that.
It's put
a chill on the ability.
Yeah, and we have the best firms in the country wanting to do work for us. We might as well take advantage of their skill set.
Well, and it's not even taking advantage to that much. I mean, they do these dog and pony shows all the time with private mm-hmm. groups.
They
so
do.
They
it's
have
part
the presen-
of what they do.
They have the presentation ready.
Yeah.
They can tailor it.
Okay, I just didn't want yeah. that to get lost. I know Christy and I've talked about that, and she's on board with it. It's just that we need to make sure that you all do that so that we don't have a problem down the road. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
She didn't run out the door, so we're okay.
Okay, anything else for Mike?
Thank
Can
you.
We move on to the business system?
Thank you.
And we had item one, which
we
was getting deferred.
We're still
okay.
working through it.
Okay, so then we go to procurement. And I think we have items 1 through 6, which are against the CMS master contract. You want to take those all at once, John?
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, directors.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. The first item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase office supplies on an as-needed basis until the contract expires on August 24th of 2013. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidders for each category solicited. The awardees are Office Depot Incorporated, Office Max Incorporated, and Staples Contract and Commercial Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $130,000. The second item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase Navistar truck parts on an as-needed basis for a 2-year term. This contract provides Navistar truck parts used for repair and maintenance of the Tollway's Navistar fleet of trucks. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Lakeside International Trucks, in an amount not to exceed $1,200,000. The third item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase plastic trash liners on an as-needed basis until the contract expiration date of July 14th of 2012. This contract provides a source for plastic garbage can liners for the removal of refuse throughout the tollway facilities. This contract was awarded pursuant to the state use program to Shelby County Community Service Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $40,000. The fourth item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase liquid calcium chloride on an as-needed basis for the upcoming winter season. Liquid calcium chloride is an anti-icing product used with rock salt below freezing temperatures to intensify the reaction of salt. This contract is with Gasaway Maintenance Company and Socalco Limited. Approval of this request will increase the dollar limit by $25,809. The current authorization is $25,809, and upon receiving your approval, the revised amount will be $51,618. The fifth item is a dollar limit increase of an order against the CMS master contract to continue our ongoing expansion of upgrading the current Hirsch Velocity security system. This contract provides a source for the centralization of the tollway's door access and security system, along with security cameras at all key entrance areas. This request will include upgrading the security systems at unmanned toll plazas throughout the tollway. This contract is with A1 Corporate Hardware, doing business as A1 Lock Incorporated. Approval of this request will increase the dollar limit by $100,000. The current authorization is $50,000, and upon receiving your approval, the revised amount will be $150,000. The sixth item is a CMS contract for the tollway to purchase gasoline, diesel, biodiesel, and E85 fuels. This contract provides a source for the tollway to fuel its fleet of vehicles. Award is recommended to the responsive bidder with the lowest markup price per gallon by fuel type by location. The awardees are Conserve FS Incorporated, Christian County, G. Cooper Oil Company Incorporated, Carroll Service Company, in an amount not to exceed $11,731,352.
That's a lot of fuel. Mm-hmm. How many years is this?
That's for a 2-year period.
So that's items 1 through 6. Any questions, directors?
I have a couple on Tintin. Like the lock contract?
Yes.
It's a Springfield company. How do we end up with a Springfield company when all of our facilities are in northern Illinois? Is it actually cheap? Do they have to drive people from Springfield here? Do we have to pay travel expenses?
We are going to do this installation in conjunction.